is 5:30 on February 4th, 2011. I just headed home from work and wanted to talk about something I've been meaning to talk about for a couple of weeks now, probably, and been putting it off and been thinking about how to come about talking about it. But, you know, one of the things that I definitely need to talk about is technology. Now, for some, that's a scary word. For some, they don't like computers and gadgets and stuff like that. I'm the complete opposite. I love them. I drink them up like Coca-Cola. I, you know, can't get enough. And I think what really strikes me is not just funny, but kind of sad and scary at the same time, is that some people have this belief that kind of stems from Barack Obama's recent State of the Union address, talked about how he wants to invest in technology, invest in this and invest in that, and how government investing in NASA created the space program, and without that we never would have had it, and government, you know, investing in what was their defense department combination of computers to basically link all the computers together ended up becoming the internet. I believe it was called ARPANET to begin with or something like that, but what turned out to be the internet was actually created by the government and by Al Gore, if you believe him. But the point is, somebody called into a radio show and was talking about how that was true, that the government, without the government, there'd be so few things that you could do, and the radio show host was talking about it and said, basically, the truth is, yes, we do have these things because of the government, but how much different would things be if the government never prevented them or prevented other people from being being able to do what they want to freely? Let me give you an example. Remember growing up, you always hear that the FM and AM radio stations that you hear, you know, there's a certain limit. There's only a certain band, you know, between 87.7, I believe, and 106.5, something like that, or 107 something on the FM dial. And AM has got its own little limits. But they'll tell you, hey, there's only a certain number of radio stations you can have between 87.7 and, you know, 107 or whatever. So you have to have the government limit. You have to have the government tell people, hey, you have to pay for the right to use this particular line. Because if they don't, then everybody will just be broadcasting on every line and you'll just have a bunch of garbly people. Well, let's think about it. What if the government actually said to themselves, look, we are not legally able, which they're not, by the way, but we are not legally able to step in and decide who can use this line. What would happen? You'd have some major corporations, of course, that would want to use the line, and you'd have some little putty guys down the street who would try to play their radio on top of that and play their own little talk station or whatever they want to do. And so you would have a bit of a mess. And so what would you do? You would have an issue, and in the free market, when a problem comes up, a solution is found. And I don't know how long radios have been around, this whole 87.7 band, 107, whatever, just on the FM dial, but on the AM as well. I don't know how long they've actually been around. I'm not going to try to give you an exact date, but, you know, I'd say at least, Phil, it's been at least 50 years, because I know my dad has an AM band in his 57 Chevy. But you're talking over 50 years on the AM. Probably around that for the effort, but just for the sake of argument, we'll say, okay, 50 years. It's been just 50 years. The government has told us there's a limit. This is all we can do. We have to stop. We have to prevent you from doing any more than this. Now, here's the problem. One, the government tells you there's a limit, and I'm going to charge you for access to this limited resource. Okay. On the free market, if you own a limited resource, if I own a vehicle, for instance, somebody wants to borrow it, I have the ability and the right to charge them. Say, look, you can borrow my car. It's going to cost you $5. Or if you need to borrow my pickup truck, you know, I'll charge you $25. You can haul whatever you need to the dumpster or whatever you need to use it for. In a private setting, if I own something, I have the ability and the right, barring any sort of government intervention, I have the right to charge people whatever I want to use my service. But in this case, the government's saying, we own the air. We own everything above you. And we are the ones that are going to charge people to use it. And you might be thinking, well, no, radio stations have to pay the government. Oh, yes, they do. They have to pay the rights. Just like a taxi cab has to pay the rights to drive a taxi cab in New York City, people have to pay to have the right to use a radio station. And we're talking in math, billions of dollars. Okay, this isn't just a few bucks here and there. We're talking billions of dollars, and if you're in a big area, of course, the government can charge you a lot of money to be able to use the radio station there. In fact, another radio station I was listening to, they were talking about a sale on radio stations, and it was something like 5 radio stations were on sale for $150 million, so that's a $30 million radio station. So that's just the right to broadcast on those lines. That's not, as far as I understood, that's not the equipment. That's just the right to broadcast on that particular, on those particular dials. But anyway, the point is, the government comes out and says, look, this is the limit. This is all you get. You can't fit any more radio on these lines, so we have to sell the rights. So people took that as, okay, all right, fine, you know, it's fair enough, all right, you know, you're the boss, you charge whatever. And of course, for 99.9% of Americans, they don't even care because they turn the radio on, their radio's free. And so they don't care. You know, if you turn your radio on and there's a station on there, oh, great. You don't care how much they pay for that station. You don't care if the guy who owns that station is almost bankrupt because of what the government's charging for. You don't care how much the advertisers are paying to be able to broadcast. You don't care. It's just whatever. As long as it's on and it's something I want to listen to, that's all you care about. And I'm not judging anybody. That's pretty much what it should be. You know, when you're listening to a radio station, you shouldn't care necessarily what they're paying for. But you should keep in the back of your mind what the implications are to you. Because what happens is you have a limited number of radio stations to choose from. And this has always annoyed me. And, you know, I'm not going to try to start a conspiracy here, but it really irks me that I'll turn on the radio station, and when you turn on the radio and you go through all the dials, there might be a total of, you know, 10 in a given city that actually have music playing through them. Which brings up another question. Why are there only 10? Why aren't every single station covered? Because it should be more of a Dutch auction type thing, you know? Okay, for the people that want it the most, you can pay the most for this particular line. And as you get lower and lower and lower, you can end up selling off the last line for $1,000 or whatever. Because who cares? If nobody else wants it, you get it for $1,000. So they won't do that. They'll only sell a certain one and, of course, make it illegal to broadcast on the ones that have it sold. But anyway, the point is, you turn the station, you flip through, there's 10 stations total. I'm talking about the FM dial. 10 stations total. There's maybe 2 that are even interesting enough for me to listen to. And, of course, whenever you turn it on, there's always one of those that's on commercial. So pretty much at any given time, I'll find one radio station worthy of listening to, and then it's a shot in the dark whether or not the music's even worth listening to. Well, when you think about it, so I'm saying there's 10 stations that actually come in. There's between 87.7 and 107.5 or whatever the max is. You can fit hundreds of stations in them, but there's only 10 of them that come through that actually have something of value. So that's the first problem. The second problem is, like I said, the government will tell you, this is all we can fit on here. And now within the last 10 years, that's 5 to 10 years, they've come out with HD radio, right? So now you can have radio stations that are split on top of other radio stations. And so what you have is, you might have, you know, instead of 107.5, you have 107.5-1-2-3-4, and they'll do the same exact thing with over-the-air television. It used to be you'd only have channel 3, 6, 8, 12. Now you have 3.1, 3.2, 6.1, 6.2, 6.3. I think on OPB it's seen up to 4 or 5 stations linked onto one channel. So when you go to start at first and saying, oh, well, you know, you can only fit so many radio stations on here. Now with HD, really the sky's the limit. You can pile more on top of each other. And, of course, in addition to all of that, only 10 of them are being used. So, really, there's a lot more radio station bandwidth available out there than actually being used. So that's a huge problem. Because you'll have people, you know, like me, for instance. Maybe I just want to go on the radio, make my own little radio broadcast, and broadcast this over the radio so that anybody in the Portland area who happens to have a turn, happens to be flipping through their dial, can all of a sudden hear me. Whoa, what's this guy? And, you know, like me or not, if they don't like me, they can turn up. If they like me, they can listen. But for, you know, pennies on the dollar to what a, you know, professional, a full-blown radio station can do, for pennies on the dollar, I can do the same thing in my own house. And, of course, I'll only broadcast it for, you know, maybe two square miles, depending on the size of my, or two radio miles, I should say, depending on the size of my, antenna. For the most part, you know, not going to get too many listeners that way, but it's a start. But the point is, if I do that, the government finds out, I can go to jail for that. I can get fined, I can go to jail, I can get in trouble, all because I didn't pay the fees that I was supposed to, all because the government says they own that and I don't have the ability to do that for free. I got to pay them. I got to pay them their lucre. So it really bothers me because here, you know, your whole life you go through this belief that there's a limit on these radio stations and that that's the reason the government has to do these things. Well, you have to really ask yourself, what else is their limitation doing? Because here we've already seen that you've already stunted 50 years at least where we could have been broadcasting a lot more over the last 50 years. We could have been getting a lot more information out there. We had a lot more radio stations. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's 50 crappy radio stations. You can still find one or two good ones. You know, it's like cable TV. If you don't have cable, you have four or five channels. You know, you might find something where they watch them. Maybe not. You'll turn it off. You can get cable TV or you can even get satellite. You can get over 200 channels. You can get 500 channels. You can get 700 channels. You can literally have 700 channels of television. You can flip through each one of them and not find something to watch. Or maybe you'll find one thing. You know, but how many of us would argue that, oh, we have too many satellite channels. We need to stop making so many satellite channels. No, there's channels for everything now. There's an arts and crafts channel. There's channels on basket weaving. There's channels on everything. It is insane. But, you know, if that's what you want to watch, then that's what you want to watch. And the same thing could be said about radio. Now, this is just an example of what I'm talking about with the whole technology thing, because the person who called into this radio show stating to the radio, to the guy on the radio saying, hey, man, you wouldn't even be on here if it wasn't for the government creating the internet, you know, because this is like an internet broadcast type thing. Like, you wouldn't even have a show if it wasn't for the government creating the internet. And I don't think the radio, I understand because I listen to the radio show guy a lot. His name's Ernie Hancock, but I listen to him a lot, and I know that I know where he's coming from. I know kind of if I was in his shoes that day, how I would have filled in. But I don't think he emphasized enough that said, look, the government created this, but what would have happened if the government had stayed out? And let's say, for instance, the radio was let free, you know, okay, everybody's free to do whatever they want on the radio. Let's say there's 1,000 people using the radio station. It's all garbledy gooped. It's all ridiculous. You're driving from work. You get 8 different channels. What's going to happen? People are going to get together and say, we have too much junk on this radio. How are we going to get this broadcast out so that we don't have to deal with it anymore? And, of course, with the internet, what you do is you take that problem, and now you can, you know, even more so than the radio, you can literally have stations about anything and everything. You can put them on channels, and people can tune in if they like it. You know, I have on my phone now, because my phone can get internet access, I have access to an endless number of broadcasts that play online. Some of them are in a loop that play over and over. Some of them are, you know, you got to tune in at a certain time. You got to tune in at certain times to catch it, and other ones, you just go there, you find whatever you want, you press play, and it plays whatever episode you want, just like a TV show. You click on it, that's the one I want to watch, that's the one I want to listen to. So the sky really is the limit, and a lot of people, I don't even think, realize it. A lot of people don't even know, when you have a cell phone, how much is at your fingertips. You know, a lot of these stations as well, they'll give you a toll-free number. I shouldn't say toll-free, it's a local number to wherever they're broadcasting from. So my correction, it's not toll-free. It is one of those where if you have a cell phone, for instance, or if you have a phone line at home that has unlimited calling, you can call them any time of the day. If you happen to have a cell phone like I do, nights start at 7 p.m., so I can call them after 7. On the weekends, I can call. And it's just a listen-in line. If not, you know, you're not calling in to interact with anybody. You're just listening in to the broadcast. But it's amazing because you can call this number and you can have thousands of people calling, all listening to the broadcast, instead of being able to tune in at certain times, you can call in and listen that way as well. And with the technology we have today, you can call in, you can go on your phone, you can go on the internet on your phone, you can download programs on your phone, play them through there. There's a massive number of ways you can basically get in tune with these particular broadcasts. And like I said, there's an endless number of broadcasts. I mean, sky's the limit on what you can find out there, and if you can't happen to find it, you can create it yourself if you really want to. But the point I bring all this up is that so many people, I believe, think that it's great that the government, in the case of radio, for instance, it's great that the government will restrict it to certain people so that we don't have garbage on the airways. But I say to you, if you have garbage on the airways, if you have too many people trying to use the same product and it becomes overpowering, you're going to have a new creation, such as the internet, that's going to come out and say, look, there's too many people on the broadcast. There's too many people that want to broadcast music or want to broadcast news or want to broadcast, you know, some sort of information, some podcast of X, Y, and Z, whatever. And so you'll have too many people that want to use it. You'll create something new that will allow you to fix the problem. And that's kind of what the internet does. You know, the internet, I wouldn't say it wasn't invented for this reason. Of course, I know it wasn't because I know the purpose it was invented. But had the internet not been invented by the government, the idea of linking together computers, sharing information, sharing files, that all could have come about without the government. Just like the idea of, you know, high-definition radio could have come about without the government. And as far as I know, it did. I could be mistaken. But the idea is you get to a point where there's a problem. Like, look, how are we going to solve this problem? Here's an idea. And it may start with a particular person. It may start with a business. You know, the guy may create his own company or may come from somebody who already works at a big company like Microsoft or Intel or something. But the point is, you've got to stay out of the way of human ingenuity and say, look, let's let the creative juices flow and let's let people think up these ideas and these problems and how to solve them. And the problem you come up with is when government is in the way, it hurts everybody. I'm not going to say government's always in the way, but if you come up to something and you say, look, I want to create this product or service that's going to help everybody. Now, the government says, wait, you need to pay a fee for that. You need to fill out some information, some forms, whatever. Anything that the government does to get in your way is slowing down progress and is hurting everybody. Because if the internet was never invented, for instance, if the internet never existed, just think how much different everybody's life would be, whether it's created by private industry or government. It doesn't matter. If it never existed, just think how much different our lives would be. And just think about what hasn't been invented because of what the government might have stepped in the way of. Because they don't think it's necessary, because they don't think it's important, or because the government doesn't want to give up its powers. Just like the radio. The government did not want to give up that power. And now we're getting to the point where, and unfortunately it takes years and years for this to happen, but there's going to come a point where people are going to stop using their radio. Because even as I'm driving home, I don't even like turning on my own radio in my car anymore. Because I'll turn it on, and two things will happen. Like I said, most likely I'll get either a commercial break or a radio station I don't like. Or the other thing that happens is I'll play it, and I'll listen to a song, and I'll say, oh, that's a nice song, but I'd rather listen to the next one. Well, I can't fast forward to the next song. And you see, now with the internet, we have things like Pandora Radio and Slacker, where if you don't like something, you just skip it. And, you know, they might have limits on theirs that say, oh, you can only skip a certain number. Well, you know, that's the case. You can just change it to a whole different station, and then you start skipping more songs. And see, this is something that the radio just cannot compete with, because the radio, of course, they have to pay for advertising. They have to do all this and that. So you can't have a typical radio station doing these sorts of things, because they're going to be too busy saying, oh, how are we going to make money on this? Whereas on the internet, it's just like, look, there's just a simple program we set up. You tell us what kind of music you like. We'll find music that's similar to it, the Music Genome Project, they call it, where they basically, you know, they analyze music as if it was, you know, like an organism that had different genes. And, you know, if you like a certain song that's classical but also has some rock in it, they'll check different songs that have classical or rock, or they'll check with different parameters. And, of course, it's not a perfect science, but they're working on it. But you get to the point where you can put in one song, say, I like this one song. You hit play. It'll play, not necessarily that song, because, you know, because of copywriting and all that, they want to make sure people aren't just going in and picking whatever song they want and playing it instantly, understandably. So they'll play a song similar to it, maybe a couple of songs similar to it, then they'll play the song you like. And they'll play, you know, three or four or five other songs similar to it, and then most likely a song that's from the same artist, but a different song. And it'll just keep mixing around. Maybe, you know, 10 or 20 songs later, you'll get the same song that you liked again, but they'll mix it up. And this is something that a regular radio station just cannot compete with, because they're too busy worrying about paying for, you know, getting advertising to pay for all the broadcasting they're doing, all the money they got to pay. And it's just this huge issue because, unfortunately, it's going to come to a point, just like with the car companies, you know, putting out their hands, asking for money. I have no doubt the radio station is going to do the same thing. Maybe in the next 5 or 10 years, say, look, oh, we need some money. You know, we're not going to survive if we don't get money. Well, good, you shouldn't survive. Radios are outdated. You know, like I said, they're at least 50 years old. The AM band, probably 100 years old. I don't know. But they're outdated. They're old. You know, you don't see people with cassette tapes anymore. You don't see people, you barely even see CDs anymore. You know, and those are now 20 years old. At least the popular use of them. I think the CDs actually go back even further than that. But the point is, things change. And when you have government involved, things don't want to change. So we've got to get that out of the way. We've got to get the change in here. And we've got to keep technology moving fluidly because technology is one of the most important things. You know, if there's any general, you know, general phrase of what you can say is most important, I'd say technology is definitely up there. You know, I mean, obviously food and shelter and all that, but I'm not talking about iPods and I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about everything in our life has to do with technology. We're driving in cars. We're living in buildings that have been designed to, you know, keep the heat out and keep the cold out and, you know, whatever, to do all those sorts of things. These are all technological advances that, you know, we go from being a caveman or being in a tent to living in buildings and working in buildings and driving. All this is technology, and we need to embrace it. It's not time to push it aside and be scared of it. It's not time to let the government take over and tell us what to do with it. It's time for us to embrace it and say, look, this is what we need. Let our creative juices start flowing, and we can help the whole world. We have internet now in third world countries that, you know, people I don't think would have even imagined 10 or 20 years ago, thinking, yeah, somebody in the middle of Africa is going to have the internet connection. It happens now. And you have people that are trying to set up satellites, buy old satellite companies that they can actually broadcast, you know, they can basically use the satellites to get internet into rural areas in Africa, give them access to the internet. And once you do that, you just open up their whole life. That's not about somebody in the middle of Africa having access to an MP3 CD or having access to, you know, Google Maps. No, it's not even that. It's a matter, well, maybe the maps would help them. But it's a matter, you know, the satellite imaging and stuff. But it's a matter of being able to open them up to the world, be able to bring them up to everybody else. They don't have to if they don't want to, of course. But you'll see, especially the children in those villages will be very interested in it. They'll come up to a computer and they'll want to play with it and they'll want to figure out what it is. Very, you know, intriguing to them. They'll want to see what's going on. And they'll want to learn about it. And then, of course, once you start teaching them about electronics and computers, and, you know, they're in the middle of Africa, so you give them some solar panels, they can keep the computer running. You know, if you don't have electricity in your house, it's fine. You can have a little solar panel and run your computer on it. You know, the sky's the limit when you really open your eyes and you open up your mind. And it's about time that we just let the juices start flowing until it's just billowing out of us. That's what we really need.